James chapter 5. Verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as I attempt to communicate some of the precious truths of Your Word, I pray that You would give me clarity of speech, clearness of thought, Lord. I pray that You would communicate through Your Spirit in a way that I cannot. We thank You for this. We thank You for Your presence this morning. For we are gathered in Your name, and You have promised to be here with us in spirit. We pray that You would take control and be sovereign over all that happens here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You have heard of the patience of Job. I want to talk about the patience of Job this morning. And I have 10 pages of notes. So you might learn a little bit about the patience of Job. In this verse here, it says, take the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. That word patience is a different Greek word than the very next verse. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Two different Greek words translated patience. The word in verse 11 there, ye have heard of the patience of Job, is the noun form of the verb previous to it, endure. We count them happy which endure. This is hupomeno. The verb, the noun form of that is hupomone, or H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E. It's the noun form of endure. So, we see a little bit more what the word patience means, the endurance of Job. And have seen the end of the Lord, which means the goal, the destination aimed at, the goal of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Job's patience was that of continuing under affliction, continuing in. I remember as a little boy, I heard my dad make a statement that I, at the time, thought was pretty funny. There was some conflict, somebody he was upset at or was upset at him, and I don't know the exact instance of the situation, but I heard my dad gruffly say, if he's going to whoop me, he'd better bring his lunch pail. And I remember laughing about that. The idea is it's not going to be a quick job. It's going to take a while. Well, if you're going to break Job, you better bring your whole cupboard. He was not a man that was easily broken. Turn to the book of Job. I think a lot of people read through the book of Job, and there is so much in the poetic language that they get lost. I know I did about the first 10 times I read it. And it's hard to understand because of the way they speak. They don't just get to the point and say it. They've got to say it in 1,000 words. And by the time they get done saying it, you forgot what they were trying to say. And then you go on to the argument of the next one. Instead of him just answering, he uses 1,000 words to answer. And you forget what he's even answering and the point he's trying to make. And sometimes it makes it hard to understand what's going on in the book of Job and what the points and issues really were. If you read Job 1 and 2, you'll find, and I'm going to read little this morning as far as 1 and 2 because I've got some excerpts to read through. It's going to take a little bit of time and I don't want to overpress your patience. In the first two chapters of the book of Job, we learn that Job was a very upright man. In fact, God Himself presents him to Satan as an example of what God was pleased with, and almost in your face to the devil, Have you considered Job? While you're up here making accusations, have you thought about Job? Well, the devil didn't like thinking about Job. But he said that there was none like him in all the earth. An upright man, a righteous man who eschewed evil and lived for what was right. And the Lord said unto Satan, verse 8, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And so Satan says, "Well, does Job fear thee for naught? You've made a hedge about him, you've blessed him, and so take away all that you've given him, and he'll curse you to your face." The Lord said, "Go ahead." So the devil went out from the presence of the Lord, and we find that his sons and his daughters were slain by a whirlwind that broke the house. The oxen and asses were the Sabians fell upon them and took them away and slew the servants. The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants. And the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away. All these things were happening. He lost all of his children. He lost everything. He lost his substance. And we find that Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Job was a very upright man. He worked hard at it. He didn't take it lightly. He worked hard every time his children got together for one of them's birthday or for some sort of festivity. Job afterwards offered offerings in their behalf, just in case maybe they had mindlessly offended God, or some people have a different idea of what it means there. Possibly that it says here that they curse God in their heart. Others say that word curse is also the same word used for bless. And every time it's used for curse, it could also be made to mean bless. And that's a study you can do all on your own. It's quite interesting. But when Satan said, "He will curse thee to thy face," he could have said sarcastically, "And then will he still bless you?" Okay? So the translation could be made either way. When his wife said, "Curse God and die," she could have said sarcastically, "Just continue to bless God while you're dying," type of attitude. Yeah, just bless God and die. Do you retain your integrity? But you can study on that sometime and see how that's an interesting word, and it brings up a lot of interesting ideas about translating it. So, Job did not sin or charge God foolishly in all this. And Satan came back. And God said, "Have you been paying attention, Satan?" He said, "Yeah, but if you skin for skin, all that a man has will he give for his flesh and his health. Take away his health, and he'll curse you to your face." So he said, "Go ahead, but save his life." So here Job was so concerned about living righteous that even if his sons had, you can translate it, cursed God in their heart, or others say maybe they blessed the gods, okay? In other words, maybe they gave some credence to idolatry which surrounded them at the time. Maybe they had said something or done something that would give some credence to that and offended God. He offered sacrifices for them to atone for their sin. He was very concerned about living right. And by the way, that's not easy. That's a trial in itself. To strive to be upright, to strive to have a perfect heart, to strive to maintain godly ways in every situation. He was a judge or an elder. We know he was a patriarchal priest figure, but we also believe that he was possibly a judge or an elder in his city. Therefore, he was probably disliked by the ungodly crowd that had disagreed with him. He probably stood alone on some issues. He probably had enemies. Nobody stands up for God. Nobody stands in the position that Job was in without attracting enemies. Okay? I'm sure Job had some enemies. I know, I was thinking, well, what if all this happened to me right now? How many people would rejoice? How many people out there would rejoice and say, "Well, he finally got what was coming to him. Well, that's what he gets for teaching that doctrine," which they consider false. And there would be a lot of, and there would be a great trial, not just in the loss of possession, but in the fact that it seemed that God was taking the other person's side against me, that God was destroying my influence. It's like, I remember back when we've had church splits and people have lied and slandered the church. Like, great. Here we are trying to be a light in the community. Here we are trying to stand for truth. And then this yo-yo comes along and does this, and why even try? Have you ever felt that way? So, Job not only lost his possessions, loss of children, loss of health, he lost respect and purpose in life. In chapter 30, verse 1, we find Job saying, "But now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. They were children of fools, yea, children of base men. They were viler than the earth. And now I am their song, yea, I am their byword. They abhor me, they flee far from me, and spare not to spit in my face." What a trial for someone who is striving to live godly. The seeming loss of God's favor and love. Loss of influence and credibility, because everyone assumed that God was judging him. You know, Jesus went through all this too. In a keener way. The Bible says in Isaiah, we did esteem him smitten of God and afflicted. We thought, well, see, God's given him what he... That's what the Jews said. He claimed to be Messiah. He claimed to be the Son of God. Now God's rejected him. That's what he deserves. That's a hard thing to take. Jesus felt it. In chapter 3, we find that Job begins, after sitting there for 7 days, silent with his friends, came around. And you know, these guys failed. They weren't the sharpest knife in the drawer. But, when's the last time you went to someone who was grieving and sat there for 7 days? Quietly, just being there with them. That says something. But the next part of Job's hard trial was that when he began to cry out and curse the day of his birth and question why he was even born, they began to falsely accuse and analyze him. Have you ever been in a time of severe suffering and trial and had people analyzing you while you suffer? Have you ever had that? Telling you this is God's judgment while they're not suffering at all. But they're analyzing your situation and telling you why you're suffering and watching you as you suffer. You know, while someone's suffering, they don't always perform the best, do they? And to sit and analyze that is really... It's not exactly courteous. So we're going to begin in Job chapter 4, and I'm going to read excerpts. We're going to skim through the book, and I'm just going to read key thoughts to help you gather the argument that's going on, and then we're going to draw some observations towards the end. Eliphaz the Temanite, in chapter 4, verse 7, says, "Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent? Or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of His nostrils there are they consumed." So here they are giving their wonderful exhortations to a man who is in incredible trial. A trial they've never been through. In chapter 6, verse 14, Job says, "To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. But he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty." Verse 22. Chapter 6, "Did I say, bring unto me, or give a reward for me of your substance, or deliver me from the enemy's hand, or redeem me from the hand of the mighty? Teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forcible are right words, but what does your argument reprove? Do ye imagine to reprove words and the speeches of one that is desperate, which are as wind?" Job here is one that is desperate. He's crying out to God. Why God? And in doing so, they feel like, well, you know, obviously God is a just God, and so God always punishes the wicked and He always blesses the righteous. And so if you were righteous, everything would go well. And because everything's going bad, it must mean that there's some sin, and you're just not repenting of your sin. That was their argument. Bildad the Shuhite in chapter 8, verse 1, then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, "How long wilt thou speak these things? And how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? Doth God pervert judgment? Or doth the Almighty pervert justice? If thy children..." Listen to this. How insensitive. "If thy children have sinned against Him, and He have cast them away for their transgression..." It's so easy to say. He lost, what, 10 children? 7 sons and 3 daughters, I think it was, or something to that effect. Or maybe that's what he got afterwards. Anyways, "If thy children have sinned against Him, and He have cast them away for their transgression, if thou wouldest seek unto God betimes and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now He would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous." Verse 20 says, "Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will He help the evildoers." Job chapter 9, verse 1, "Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should a man be just with God? If he will contend with Him, He cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against Him and hath prospered? How much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him? Whom though I were righteous, yet would I not answer, but I would make supplication to my judge. If I had called and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. For he breaketh me with a tempest, and multiplieth my wounds without cause. He will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with bitterness. If I speak of strength, lo, He is strong. And if of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul. I would despise my life. This is one thing, and therefore I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked." That was Job's contention. That it doesn't, just because evil has come upon someone doesn't mean they're wicked. God allows this to the righteous and to the wicked. "If the scourge slay suddenly, he will laugh at the trial of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he? If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain?" You hear his plea? If after all I've labored and labored and labored for years to do, and by the way, this man had grown children. He had had a testimony for many years of consistent godliness. And then now if I'm wicked, why was I laboring in vain? "If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me into the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him. But it is not so with me." Job is desiring to reason with God. And Job cries to God in chapter 10, verse 1, "My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, Do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as a man seest? Are thy days as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days? That thou inquirest after mine iniquity and searchest after my sin? Thou knowest I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou shalt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me, and if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion, therefore see thou mine affliction." Do you hear this man's words? You know, we have a similar conflict in theology today. Okay? If I were to step up to some people and say, I am righteous, they would choke. Okay? You know why? Because they immediately think of perfection. Okay? The Bible declares, in many, read the book of Psalms, it talks about the wicked and the righteous. Obviously, there is somebody who fills that category. Does that mean that person is perfectly righteous and sinless? No. It means they're striving to be righteous, and these people don't care about being righteous. Okay? So, I could say, well, I'm not wicked. In a sense, because I'm striving to be righteous, I am not wicked. But in another sense, compared to God's righteousness, I am wicked and deserving of hell. So, these words have to be used properly. And if I were to say, you know, if Brother Greg here was in a deep trial, and I'd say, well, it's because you're wicked. Well, yes, I'm wicked and I deserve hell. But I'm not living wicked. I'm not a part of those who are living wicked. I'm striving to live for God. So I don't believe this has come upon me because of my wickedness. Yet I can't say that I don't deserve this because ultimately I do deserve hell. You understand the difference there? And so Job is saying, thou knowest, he said, God, you know I'm not wicked. And yet at the same time, Job knows he's not sinless. And so he says, why are you searching out my sin? Can you imagine if you had two children, an Esau and a Jacob? One who didn't care about obedience. One that was rebellious. Okay? And then one that was striving to be upright. But the one that was striving to be upright, all you ever did was nitpick their failures. And judge them for their failures. That would seem unjust. It would seem unfair. Because you'd be like, oh, you know I'm not rebellious. I'm not wicked. Why are you searching out every little transgression and judging me for it? Okay? That's the way Job felt. Now, from Job's point of view, I could certainly sympathize with why he would say that. You know, David one time said, pour out your wrath upon the ungodly. Why are you afflicting me? Why are you so heavy upon me? Why are you demanding so much of me? If you're angry, pour your anger upon the wicked. Okay? Well, we feel that way. But in doing so, even though we cannot be said necessarily to charge God foolishly, yet we are casting a shadow upon God's judgment. We are casting a shadow upon God's wisdom. Is this wise to do so? And so Job, because he's provoked by his friends, because they're saying, this is happening because you're wicked. And Job's saying, this is not happening because I'm wicked. I know my heart's clean. I've kept myself pure before God. And they're saying, well, you know, you think you're righteous then. You think you're perfect. No, that's not what he was saying. And he's crying out to God. And in doing so, in defending himself, he casts the shadow on God's judgment. In chapter 11, after Job says this, Zophar the Naamathite said, should not the multitude of words be answered, and should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, should no man make thee ashamed? For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak, sounds like a Calvinist, but oh, that God would speak and open His lips against thee. Your righteousness is filthy rags, is basically what they're headed for. Because they don't understand that there is a difference there. And that He would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thy iniquity deserveth. Well, yeah. We understand that point. That's a different point, see? If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, this is verse 13. If iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away, and thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning, and thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt Take thy rest in safety. Also, thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee. But the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. So in other words, Job, if you just get right and get the wickedness out of your life, all this would clear up and be okay. That's their argument. Job's reply in chapter 12, verse 1, and Job answered and said, No doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who calls upon God, and he answereth him. The just, upright man is laughed to scorn. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. Chapter 13, verse 1. Lo, mine eye hath seen all this. Mine ear hath heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior to you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. Verse 13. Hold your peace, let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh and my teeth, and put my life in mine hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. In other words, he's slaying me. I'm going to trust him, but I'm going to maintain my integrity. I know that what I'm doing and my doctrine is pure. My life is righteous. I'm going to pursue that. I'm going to continue in that and trust that ultimately my judge will work this out in a righteous way. He shall also be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold now, I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. To them that was just, oh, how could you say such a thing? Look at you. Don't you see that God's judgment is upon you, you wicked sinner? Why don't you just confess, you hypocrite? Why are you hiding yourself? Why are you justifying yourself? Well, they just couldn't see it. Job again cries unto God in verse 19. Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. Only do not two things unto me, then will I not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not my dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer. Or let me speak, and answer thou me. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and holdest me for thine enemy? He is crying out to God. See, his friends sit there and hear him talk to God and think, oh, we've got to straighten this guy out. Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro? Wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly upon all my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet. Chapter 14, verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job continues to speak here. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bring me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? So he's saying, God, I've only got one life. I'm just dry stubble. What am I that you are expecting so much of me and demanding so much of me and pursuing me in this way? What is the purpose? What could be the purpose of all this? Then answered Eliphaz the Temanite, chapter 15, verse 1. Should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk, or with speeches wherewith he can do no good? Yea, thou castest off fear and restrainest prayer before God. For thy mouth uttereth thine iniquity, and thou choosest the tongue of the crafty. Thine own mouth condemneth thee, and not I. Yea, thine own lips testify against thee. The wicked man travaileth with pain all his days. Is that true? No, that's not true. The wicked man travaileth with pain all his days, and the number of years is hidden to the oppressor. A dreadful sound is in his ears. In prosperity the destroyer shall come upon him. Verse 28. And he dwelleth in desolate cities, and in houses which no man inhabiteth, which are ready to become heaps. He shall not be rich, neither shall his substance continue. Is that true? No, that's not true. The wicked often prosper more than the righteous. Verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as ye do, if your soul were in my soul's stead. I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged, and though I forbear, what am I eased? Verse 11. God hath delivered me to the ungodly, and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by the neck, and shaken me to pieces, and set me up for his mark. His archers compass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder, and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground. He breaketh me with breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant. I have sewed sackcloth upon my skin and defiled my horn in the dust. My face is foul with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Not for any injustice in mine hands. Also my prayer is pure. O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no place. Also now behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. You see, Job here, what he's saying is true. Okay? God was allowing these things to come upon him without cause. God himself testified that. God himself said that. Thou movest me against him without cause, God said. What Job was saying was true. But what Job didn't realize, and that we're going to see at the end here, was that God had a plan. Okay? Job was speaking the truth from his finite view. And what he said was true. But he was forgetting something. There were other principles that were higher and bigger than that he was not considering. And therefore, he was casting a shadow on God's righteousness. On God's wisdom. And let's go on and we'll consider all these things at the end. Verse 8, chapter 18, verse 1. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, How long will it be ere ye make an end of words? Mark, and afterwards will we speak. Wherefore are we counted as beasts and reputed vile in your sight? He teareth himself in his anger. Shall the earth be forsaken for thee? And shall the rock be removed out of its place? Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him. The steps of his strength shall be restrained, and his counsel shall cast him down. So he's still going back to the same old argument. Chapter 19, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times have you reproached me. Ye are not ashamed that ye make yourself strange to me. And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If indeed ye will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen, and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? The things they're saying of Job are true of themselves. Chapter 20, verse 1. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, therefore do my thoughts cause me to answer, and for this I make haste. I have heard the check of my reproach, and the spirit of my understanding causeth me to answer. Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon the earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment? Though his excellency mount up to the heavens, and his head reach under the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? He shall fly away as a dream, and shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night. The eye also which saw him shall see him no more, neither shall his place any more behold him. His children shall seek to please the poor, and his hands shall restore their goods. This is the portion of a wicked man from God, and the heritage appointed unto him by God. Now remember that when God says at the end, ye have not spoken that which is true concerning me, as my servant Job hath. Chapter 21, 1. But Job answered and said, hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolation. Suffer me that I may speak, and after that I have spoken, mock on. As for me, is my complaint to man? And if it were so, why should not my spirit be troubled? Mark me and be astonished, and lay your hand upon your mouth. Even when I remember, I am afraid, and trembling take hold of my flesh. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not, their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp, and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Things haven't changed much, have they? That's what Job saw in his day. And he's saying, you know, consider this. This is the way it really is. Chapter 22, verse 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, can a man be profitable unto God, as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous? Sounds like a Calvinist, doesn't it? Or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? Will he reprove thee for fear of thee? Will he enter into judgment? Is not thy wickedness great and thine iniquities infinite? For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. But as for the mighty man, he hath the earth, and the honorable man dwelleth in it. Thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. Therefore snares are round about thee, and sudden fear troubleth thee. Acquaint now thyself, verse 21, with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come upon thee, or unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir is the stones of the brooks. Prosperity preachers here. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Nothing's new under the sun. Chapter 23, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him, and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where doth he work? Where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is of one mind. He is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence when I consider. I am afraid of him, for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. 25:1. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, How then can a man be justified with God? And how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man, which is a worm. Chapter 27, verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, As God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul. All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold.